started here. Let's have a polynomial. All
right? Day 39, right?
Yeah. All right.
Administrative stuff. Day 39 is today. Topic. Taylor's theorem.
Taylor's.
11.10.
Like the guitar.
And I suppose I should put up some reminders. So Thursday, the next homework is due. Next Monday is a Q&A. And then next Tuesday next week is a test. Let's see. I owe you an old homework. I'll give you that back tomorrow. Sorry for the delay on that. As I said, I wanted to regrade it to get more partial credit in there. And then, what was I writing? Yes. Okay, so today's homework is the fifth and final day of the next batch that's due. Okay, so what was I saying? Start with a polynomial. Okay, here's a polynomial.
So is due this Thursday?
Yes. I hope you started already.
I'm going to start today. But I already got it down, so one step closer.
All right. Start early in case something is harder than you expect.
Yeah, I get you.
Okay. So what we're going to do with this polynomial is I'm going to show you that you can learn everything there is to know about the polynomial just from looking at a tiny, tiny piece. I claim if you just have a tiny, tiny piece of the graph, even of, you know, arc length 1 over a million, say around the point where x equals 0, just that tiny piece, right, contains enough information encoded in the exact precise shape of that little bit of the graph to give you all the polynomial. Okay. Now, if you think about it, this is a polynomial of degree 5, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 numbers. There's 6 numbers that encode the whole polynomial. I claim that if you just give me a teensy piece of the graph, that graph, you know, it's actually, that even a short piece of the graph has actually got infinitely many points on it, right? So I claim I can get those 6 numbers out of any little piece of the graph. Right? Now, the algebra is cleaner if you look at a piece near 0, right? So near x equals 0, the graph would look something like this, right? At y equals 6, say, right, and the slope will be, and the tangent line will be 5. So it looks something like that. Now, of course, it's going to be a concave down graph, so it curves a little bit. And then these ones are harder to give geometric intuition for directly. But nonetheless, the precise shape of the graph here, which I don't claim to have drawn, actually does have enough information to get all this. All right. So, and one way you can get information about the shape near 0 is by looking at derivatives at 0. I claim if we look at the function value itself and the first 5 derivatives at 0, which you can compute by taking limits as x goes to 0, right? Right, derivative is a difference quotient. So I only need to know information about a graph near 0 to know about its derivatives. So let's see what's happening. Okay, so at 0, easy, it's just 6. Okay. Now take a derivative, okay. Let's see if I did that.
just a new one. Second one is x plus, yes. You're right.
So at zero, the derivative is 5. Right. So far this emerges. Yeah, okay. The value of 6 gives me the constant coefficient. The derivative at 0, right, gives me the linear coefficient. And okay, so I want to get some more information here. So I take the second derivative. Second derivative at 0 is just negative 8.
Yes.
And that's not quite negative 4, but if we divide by 2, there's our negative 4. Now, did I just make that up, or is there a pattern? There's a pattern. Right? I didn't just pick the 2 to make it work. I picked 2 because it's 2 factorial. All right, watch what happens with the third derivative. 120x squared minus 72x plus 42. All right, if you plug in x equals 0, the third derivative at 0 is 42. Now, divided by 6, or 3 factorial. Right, so third derivative divided by third factorial, which is 6, will give you 7. Okay. Matches that. All right. Now at this point, with all these primes, I mean, I don't want to have to write 4 primes. I'm getting lazy. So let's have notation for the lazy here. Okay. If I write a superscript 0, that's the function. A superscript 1 is the first derivative. Well, okay, parenthesize superscript, yeah, right? Parenthesize superscript 2 is the second derivative. Parenthesize superscript 3 is the third derivative. Okay, so then parenthesize superscript 4, separating the 4 prime. Okay, so 240x minus 72. Fourth derivative. I have so many boxes. Anyways, okay, 72 will be the fourth derivative at 0. Negative 72, rather. Alright, and divide by
4 factorial?
Yeah, which is 24. Okay. And you will recover the negative 3.
So you do this until you get the F5 factorial, because there's 5 polynomials.
Yeah, 5 factorial is 120, right? And the fifth derivative is just 240, constant function. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the next one will be 2, technically.
It should, yeah.
Hold on, let's do the fifth derivative. We'll get to the sixth derivative in a moment. Okay, so... Okay, 240 divided by 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times 5, which is 120, is 2. Okay. The sixth derivative, of course, is 0 because this is a constant function. And so are all the higher derivatives.
So we move to the 8th, 9, 10, we'll get 0.
Yeah, all the higher derivatives are 0.
But there's no point of doing them.
Yeah, there's no point in doing this. Right? Okay. So.
We can get beyond.
So we get the 2. So you can recover the coefficients.
Just with that small piece of information.
Yeah.
So if you were to give us a derivative, we can make the equation itself.
Yeah, I could have gone the other way. I could have said, here's a polynomial of such and such a degree. Here are, all these derivatives at 0. You can give me the polynomial back. right. And now I could also ask something else. Like, what if I want that same function, right, in terms of powers of x minus 1? Okay? Now I want to know what are all these coefficients.
And so the 3 and the 3 and the 4 on the bottom. Okay. So 3 times 2 times 3. Just gives you 7.
Are you expressing the series?
Well, it's a short series, right? It's a this is a power series with 6 terms. But how could I find the coefficients, right?
Derivative.
Yeah, I can use the derivatives. And I take the derivative at what point, right? I mean, over there I took derivatives at 0.
I'm guessing where...
Right, I plugged in x equals 0 here, so what do I plug in for that one?
Could we use 0 again?
Well, we got to be careful, right? Because these are... These derivatives... Yeah. So, for example... Let's say I was at, let's look at, the third, A3, okay? So if we took 3 derivatives of this and we divide it by 3 factorial, and we plug in 0, the problem is here you'll get a negative 1 to the 4th power, you'll get negative 1 to the 5th power. So you don't want to plug in 0. What you actually want to do is plug in 1, okay? Maybe, let's write it out.
So okay. You're trying to make x...
Look at the pattern here. If we took 3 derivatives, what you would get is 5 times 4 times 3 x minus 1 squared plus 4 times 3 times 2 a4 x minus 1 plus 3 times 2 3 something like this. Let me write it like this. That's kind of more natural because of... First, you take the derivative once, a 4 pops out, and the power goes down to a cube. Take the derivative again, a 3 pops out, and the power goes down to a square. Take the derivative a third time, a 2 pops out. Right?
5 times 4 times 0 was good.
So anyways, 1 times 2 times 3 for this one. And then, after taking the derivative 3 times, these terms are all zeroed out. Anyways, you see, if you plug in just 1, then this term will get zeroed out, and this term will get zeroed out. And we're dividing the whole thing by 1 times 2 times 3, right? Okay. So what we want to plug in is actually 1, because then we will get exactly A3, because this term will get zeroed out and this term will get zeroed out. Like over here, I plugged in x equals 0, and it was easy. A whole bunch of terms just went to 0.
So if it was like x minus 3, you use 3.
So you'd want to use a number that would basically just equal x to 0, just to simplify the problem.
Yeah. So I can actually plug in 1 now, right? Plug in 1 here. Right? If it's the same function, then I can just plug in 1 here. Right? It'll be the third derivative at 1. So I'll get 120 minus 72 plus 42, so 90. Right? And 15. And you can do other computation. Like if I plug in 1, right? Plug in 1 for x. 2 minus 3 plus 7 minus 4 plus 5 plus 6. Mm-hmm. Or So I take 1, 6, 2, 7, 13. All right. Here's my derivative. Plug in 1.
10 minus 12.
-2, add 21 to get 19. Subtract 8 to get 11. Add 5 to get 16.
So these two functions are the same? Or?
Yes, same function.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Otherwise, I couldn't get this. It would just be this mysterious A3.
Also, like you can give us parts of it if we wanted.
So I can use the calculus here to actually do some algebra, right? I can transform a function in powers of x to powers of x minus 1, right? Even if it's just a polynomial, right? Okay, 40 minus 36 is 4, plus 42 is 46, minus 8 is 38. And divide that by 2, you get 19.
There's
15. Let's see here. Fourth derivative, okay. 240 minus 72. That's 168. And then the last one will just be 240. Oh, but it's 168 divided by 7. Okay. So, our old polynomial, I mean, it's the same polynomial, but our old expression of it, right? Now, the other way to prove the same fact without knowing any calculus is you use the binomial theorem. Like, you expand the fifth power of x minus 1 out to x to the fifth minus 5x plus 10x squared minus 10x cubed plus 5x to the fourth minus 1. And then so on for each of these powers of x minus 1. And then you collect all the like terms, right? And then you multiply them by these coefficients, right? Okay, exactly. Multiply the powers by the coefficients. Then you collect the like terms. Then you solve a big system of linear equations to figure out what these A's should be in order to match these. Okay? That's the hard way. All right. Anyone who's a serious mathematician doing research algebra and so on, of course, knows about this trick, right? Right? You can take derivatives of polynomials to actually help you do algebra. And so the point is that knowing a bunch of derivatives at one point can tell you about the whole function in the case of a polynomial. Now, if your function's not a polynomial, if it's a cosine or a sine or a logarithm, then it's not enough to just know about, you know, the first five derivatives at your point or something. You need to know all the derivatives. Okay? And it turns out that if this procedure that makes sense for polynomials works in the limit, then you can use the same idea. So we went through a bunch of algebra with this example. Let me try and describe the general pattern here. And then we'll talk about how it generalizes to functions. Okay. So
when you do the derivative, is it always going to be like 1 factorial, 2 factorial, 3 factorial, always?
Yeah. Okay. And you can even think of the first one as being divided by a 0 factorial, which we define to be 1. Yeah. Okay. So let's say if I have a polynomial, let's call it, let's say it's P of X, okay? Don't care what the coefficients are. I'm trying to tell you about the general pattern. We just spent a lot of time on a particular example. We have some polynomial of some degree. And I have some real A, right? Okay. Then I can re-express the polynomial in terms of powers of x minus a. The simplest case is when you just choose a to be 0. But in general, you have the following formula. So you take take the function at the point a, then you do the derivative at a times x minus a, right? Kind of like we had x minus 1 over there. Then we do the second derivative at a times x minus a squared, but we have to divide by 2 factorial. And then we have the third derivative at a times x minus a cubed, but then we have to divide by a 3 factorial. Right? And you could keep doing this, right?
When you divide it over 2 factorials, second derivative of a, x minus a squared, together?
I mean, you're taking the derivative and then you're multiplying by the... You're taking the derivative however many times, and then you plug in a,
mm-hmm.
So you get a number. And that number is a coefficient. You multiply that by x minus a, right? This is how you get the polynomial. Right. Like over here, we had a polynomial, this thing, and to get these numbers, 2, 7, 15, 19, 16, 3, we looked at the derivatives at the particular point 1, right, and then we divided by some factorials. If we did our arithmetic right there, I mean, that you should be able to plug in any x value and you should get exactly the same number for both sides of that equation over there. Now, it's not, of course, going to be. There's going to be something else happening, right? If you have something that's not simply a polynomial, right? I mean, or even in the case, what if your polynomial had degree higher than n, right? You know, then this would be incomplete, right? You'd be missing something. Okay. So we can. What if you don't have a polynomial? Okay. So if. So let's say I have a function I can differentiate a whole bunch of times. Right? This is basically a generalized mean value theorem. Okay. So I have some interval I, could be infinitely long, maybe it's the whole real line. In the simplest case. And let's say my function, you know, I can just differentiate it a whole bunch of times. Most of the cases we care about, we can differentiate as many times as we want. And let's say I have two numbers, a and x, in the interval. Let's just, to be extra safe, let's just say it's continuous on this interval. So we get the nth derivative, n is continuous. N plus one derivative is continuous. Then, for some c between a and x, we get this kind of formula. So just knowing a bunch of derivatives at a can tell us about the value at x, except there's going to be some kind of error. So what's the error term? The error term is going to be the nth plus one derivative at some value c in between a and x. So, of course, we don't know exactly where that was, because if we knew exactly where it was, we'd know exactly what the function value f of x was, and then there'd be, you know, no point to this. The error term... Book's notation for it is like that. And I think I switched from F to G. There we go. I guess I like F. Okay. So what this says is that if you can take lots of derivatives of your function, then you have a polynomial approximation of your function. And the error term will depend on some still higher derivative, right? So the idea is, if the higher derivative is small, like if by the time you get to the nth plus one derivative, this is guaranteed to be small no matter what c you plug in from the interval, then you'd have a good approximation. So what you'd really like is, of course, to go all the way, right? I mean, like, if we took this thing for P, right, and wrote it as a series, right, you could write something like this. K equals 0 to N, kth derivative, right? So this is 0th derivative, this is first derivative, right? At A times x minus A to the k power divided by k factorial. Remember, 0 factorial is 1, 1 factorial is 1. And over here, we can write this as same thing in sigma notation. Kth derivative at A times x minus A to the k divided by k factorial. But there's that remainder term. So what you'd like to do is, you know, of course, take a limit, right? Now, in general, there are nasty functions where the limit doesn't actually work out, right? So here's, you know, kind of the... But they're weird, right? All right.
Part of time.
Okay. Here's one. Here. E to the negative 1 over x if x is positive, 0 if x is not positive. So it's flat here. It's at 0. And then it does this smooth increase. And it's actually really steep. It doesn't have a vertical asymptote or anything, but it increases really fast. But somehow it goes from flat to increasing, but the transition is in some sense so smooth you can't detect it with any of the derivatives. It's kind of, you have to do some tricky, you know, limit computations to even figure out what the derivatives are at zero, but in fact, for all n, the nth derivative at 0 is 0, right? Okay. So all your, if you try to use just this part, let's see here. This is only supposed to go to n. Okay. So if we're going k from k goes from 0 to n, right? This part is called the nth degree Taylor polynomial, right? And this is the remainder, okay? Okay, so in this weird function, right, the nth degree Taylor polynomial, this, you think of it as a polynomial approximation, right? You get 0 for all n. So the remainder is not going to 0, right? That's what you want. But for x positive, the remainder, you know, since the actual function is here, right? And then here is your, for any particular n you care to try, you just get 0 because all of these derivatives are 0. Okay. So there are weird functions where this idea doesn't work in the limit. Okay. But if the remainder does go to 0 in the limit, then you can just take the limit of this, right? Just add more and more terms. Let's see if we can do an example of that. function that's not weird, you can differ. And the remainder will actually go to zero. Okay, let's say we're looking at A equals 1. Okay. And, no, let's do 2. And say our interval I will be, say, from 1 to 3. I can look at information at 2.
I think it's the cleverest way.
So basically, we're going to approximate the reciprocal function by a polynomial. So start. Okay. So we're going to do some computations here. I start using the negative power notation. Okay. Okay, so here I have the constant term, and then I have the derivative at 2 multiplied by x minus 2. This right here is the tangent line approximation. That's the tangent line approximation right there. We go to the next level. Let's tell me I have 5 minutes left. Let's see. That's actually not. One half. Minus its fourth times x minus 2. Now I take this, the second derivative, divided by 2 factorial. I get an 8. And I multiply it by x minus 2 squared. That's a quadratic approximation. At x equals 2. So that would fit the curve. It would fit the curve really well, near 2 at least. Far away from 2, it could go off the rails, but near 2, it's good. And then, okay, so power rule, we multiply by negative 3, we decrement the power. Now, if I plug in a half here, I get a negative 6 over 16, right? And but then, hey, that's 3 factorial. And I'm going to divide by 3 factorial when I get my third term. Right? In general, you have the kth derivative times the kth power of your x minus a divided by a k factorial. Okay. So the cubic approximation of this hyperbola will look like this. At 2. What do we know about the how big the remainder could be? The remainder, I'd say the zeroth one would just be the derivative and 0 plus 1, so the first derivative. Can we estimate the error after we're getting to the cubic polynomial? Okay. That would be the fourth derivative. So that would be at some intermediate point C. I can simplify that a little bit, right? Because I know the next derivative will be 24 times x to the minus 5, so divide by 24. So. Okay. Now, in my particular example, see what I've done here? I'm restricted to an interval from 1 to 3. So the distance from 2 is at most 1. And then this thing here, the smallest that denominator could be so, if I just do that, that's actually a pretty lousy bound of just 1. So, but here's my idea. This thing between 1 is somewhere between 1 and 3, if I restrict x to be in here. So I round the denominator down to 1 in this example. So, just because it's at least 1, and in fact, if you want, you can make it go further out. Let it go all the way out to infinity, and this estimate will still be valid. I think I'll save the homework about this stuff for next time. We have to do a part two. What? The kind of thing you could do with this is, for example, if you wanted to, if you plug in, you know, like, say 2.1, right? The Taylor polynomial will be a half minus a 40th plus an 800th minus a 16,000. And the remainder would be less than or equal to 2.1 minus 1 to the 4th powers. So the kind of stuff you can do with this is you can approximate something by a really high degree polynomial if you want. And in the good cases, you can prove the remainder, the error term, will be small. We'll continue this line of thought tomorrow.
So, sir?
Yeah.
The last homework is due for Thursday, too? Like, are you going to give us a number to work on that segment tomorrow?
The homework assignment I give tomorrow will not be due Thursday. So,
oh, okay.
So it's good news for you.
Yeah.